Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, August 8th, 2021. Pastor Paul Tolberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
Our text for today is from Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to just reread these verses. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. We all know that as Christians, we go through life a little different. We are anticipating our Lord's going to come back again any moment. We know that we are never alone. We know that as a Christian, I have immediate access round the clock to the good physician, no matter what may come my way. No waiting in the lines, no waiting in the putting on a mask, none of that stuff. No social distancing from God. He says he's right there. That's kind of neat. When you understand that and you look at your life, you may run into a little bit of a problem because as you look at your life, you're thinking, well, yeah, I don't live like that. I don't live that confidently. I don't live that joyfully. So then you go back to the scriptures and you find that the scriptures are encouraging us all the time to live this life of confident joy in Jesus. In fact, one book, the First John, it's almost like every verse is dedicated to reminding us of this. It says, by this we know that we come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. So there's a new standard that we Christians follow. God's standard. Then he goes on to say, by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says that he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. So we're supposed to live like Jesus, always putting other people first. Another verse. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the way in which he walked. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. No one born of God, this is the icky part, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. He cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. By this, it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. So you can see that there's a link that God sets up in every person, a link that goes from our insides to our outsides. What is inside, what we believe, what we hold on to is truth, that leaks out in how we live. It leaks out in what you think, leaks out in what you say, leaks out in what you do. So this is how come I have people come. I'm sure Pastor John is that. Every pastor has this, where people come and they say, you know, I know whom I have believed. I know that God is able to be with me every step of the way. I keep falling into sin again and again. I'm supposed to be like a butterfly. Remember all those Easter descriptions, like we're now free. And I don't feel like I'm free. I feel like I'm still crawling around. munching weeds. What's wrong with me? Ephesians 4, those chapters are, right, the last half of the book is written for people who understand what it means, what God has done, He's redeemed us, but when it's put into practice, how do we do that? How do we make sure that we don't become discouraged or fall into despair? What if you don't feel like a butterfly? What if you don't even feel like a caterpillar? What if you feel like you're the dirt that's making the weeds grow? Ephesians 4 is written for us because we need to hear that we have been restored in Jesus and He has removed us from our sin and He has renewed our mind, and He does all of that with His wonderful word. So if we're restored in Jesus, what seems to be the problem? How can we keep on falling into sin? Part of it, and I'm going to use a sports analogy, even though it's somewhat dangerous because your pastor is not known for, well, Pastor Talbert is not known for sports. Pastor John is known for sports. I am not known for sports. My brother's known for sports. And my nephew's known for sports. Well, anyway, be that as it may be. When you play a game, a sports game, and it involves a ball of some sort, it's really important, from what I figured out, to keep your eye on the ball. If they're passing it to you in the court and you're bouncing back and forth, if you're aiming to put it through a hoop, if you are hoping to receive something that someone has caught throwing to you, you want to catch it and run with it, it's all important to keep your eye on the ball. In fact, when they teach you how to play golf, I understand that they tell you to look at the ball before you hit. All of those things is really important. Why is that? It's because that's how the game is played. You focus on what is really important to get the ball from where it is to where it's supposed to be. To get from where it is to where it's supposed to be. Keep your eye on the ball. That's kind of like saying, oh, okay, I got it. God renewed me. I have been restored in Jesus Christ. I keep my eye on Jesus. I don't keep my eye on my life. I'll flop with my life. You and I will fail if we look at our lives and even compare them to other people's lives. We'll always find someone who we think is doing better and someone that we think is doing worse. And God said, no, 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 no. Keep your eyes on me. You have been restored in me. I am the Savior of the whole world. I lived and I died for you, and I want to make sure that you get home to heaven. So I wrote it all down so you can go back to it again and again and again. And one of the things that he talks about here is that he has removed us from sin. And he encourages us to be removed from sin. The word means, it says here, you were taught in Jesus to put off your old self. To put off your old self is not like after church, I'll be taking off my robe, and I'll be carefully unzipping and hanging it up. That's not what it means. It means get rid of it. You just came in from the manure pit and you stink to high heaven and oh my goodness, get rid of that stinky stuff and throw it away. Put it in the, make sure you do the laundry outside. That's the word that's used, to put it off. Don't be so gentle about it. Get rid of it. It's something you don't want. All of those wicked, filthy things you don't want. And it can be done because God chooses to live inside of us. There's a story of a Christian way, way back a long time ago. His name was Augustine. He used to not be a Christian. He used to be a very terrible person. He would go around and get drunk and have orgies and have one partner in sex after another. He had several girlfriends at the same time. He was shacking up with somebody. He had a mistress on the side. Just not the kind of guy that you want your daughter dating. Well, the Lord comes along with his word, changes Augustine on the inside and removes him from that way of life. Didn't look like anything changed on the outside, right? So he's walking down the street in a city where one of his mistresses lived. And he's walking down the street and she calls out his name, Augustine, Augustine, it is I, it is I. And Augustine keeps on walking. So she runs after him, says some more, nah. So she runs around, gets in front of him and says, Augustine, it is I. And he looks at her and says, yes, but it is no longer I. And he walked around her. That's what it means when the Lord says, put off your old self with all of its sinful tendencies, with all those habits. Get rid of those web pages. Get rid of that dirty talk coming out of your mouth. Stop putting up those angry, hateful posts on Facebook and Twitter. Don't do that stuff anymore. God has a record of all that. You don't want to dishonor God's name anymore. That's your old way of life. Now you're different because God has removed all that from you so you walk into heaven. How awesome is that? But he goes on. It's not just that you're removed. You're renewed in your mind. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's kind of like it's a constant thing. The word that God chose to use there means it's an ongoing thing. It's not instant. It's not completely all done at the same time. Is an ongoing renewal. It's a transforming of yourself from your old self to the new self, where God says, you know, I'm going to come in and I'm going to clean up a little bit. I'm going to make sure that your mind is like my mind. You know how if someone does cleaning for a living, how they can always tell whether you've cleaned or not? Or if you're a mom, you can always tell whether or not your child has cleaned up the room. Sometimes you just have to walk by and say, oh, it's not cleaned up yet, finish. And the child's left wondering, how do you know? It's like a mom sense. They know. Well, God says, I want you to have that kind of a sense in your heart of hearts, in your spirit. I want you to have that sense that this thing is going to hurt me. I want to back away from it. I don't know quite yet. I'm going to back away from things that hurt my soul. I'm not going to have any part to do with that because I want to be more and more like my Savior. That's what I want to be. I don't want to have any more backbiting. I don't want to have any more dirty language. I don't want to play around with God's sin, with sin against God. I want to do and live how God wants me to live. So how do you do that? It says, You were created to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And then in 2 Corinthians, it says these words. We, with unveiled face, behold the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord, who's a spirit. He uses the same word. He's talking about the same thing. Our life of being holy for God. So how do you get there? He tells you right there. He says, beholding the glory of God, that's how you are transformed. It's not by what you're doing. It's beholding the glory of God. Where do you behold the glory of God? You behold the glory of God when he wrapped himself up in diapers and let himself be put into a manger, a feeding trough for animals. You behold the glory of God when you see Jesus hauled before the court and not doing a single thing to defend himself because he loves us now. And he wanted us in heaven. And someone had to step into history and pay our debt. So that's what he did. What an amazing God we serve. That's the glory of God. The glory of God in the face of Christ. God, for Jesus' sake, has removed all of our sins. God, for Jesus' sake, has promised we're going to live with him forever and ever. God, for Jesus' sake, continues to live in us and through us And when we blow it, God, for Jesus' sake, continues to do it. I love how this translation puts it. It says, from now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language, means nothing to you. God speaks your native tongue. You hang on every word of God. You're dead to sin, you're alive to God. That's what Jesus did. That means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyrant any longer. You are living in the freedom of God. That should take you back to the beginning of July, where Pastor John gave that excellent sermon. Do you remember that? Talked about freedom, not political freedom. He talked about a freedom that you and I have been given by Jesus Christ, where our sins are gone. Heaven is wide open, and God, we have access to God the Father around the clock, direct access to God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. Up until then, when we see him face to face, we're kind of like roads in Wisconsin during summer. We're under construction all the time. Potholes will show up, cracks need to be filled up. We need to be aware of rough edges. We need to watch out how we drive. All those things go into driving in Wisconsin, roads under construction. But at the end of my life and at the end of your life, every Christian has a tombstone, and on that tombstone is written, end of construction. Thank you for your patience. The Lord says we are to be patient with one another, to build each other up in the faith, to encourage one another. And that's what we do. For Jesus' sake, so let us live. Amen.